You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, all right, welcome to hour number three. So we're switching gears. We just ran through the Afghanistan debacle. Then we talked about Space Force, Space Command, and what it might mean for Huntsville if Trump gets elected. And then now we're going to go and say, all right, is Trump going to get elected? Well, let's run the numbers. So a longtime friend of mine is a guy named John Rogers, who's been on the show multiple times. John worked in state politics here. He and I worked on the same campaigns. He worked in my campaigns. And then he went on to working in Montgomery in the Capitol, the State House. John is now a national-level pollster with Signal Analytics, which is an organization that was founded here in Alabama and has really gone big time, and they are all over the nation now, polling at high levels. And John Rogers is on the phone right now. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Phil, great to be with you as always.
Well, thanks for making some time for us. So I guess I want you to break it down. Give us the one over the world, the big picture. What are you seeing right now?
Well, let's rewind to late July. Let's go back to July and look at the debate, which, you know, it feels like it's 5 years ago, right, where Biden face-planted in the debate, and then the Democrats started casting around for a new nominee, and they, you know, realized, well, we're stuck with Kamala, right? And at that point, in early July, in our polling nationally, Kamala's net favorability was negative 23, so really unpopular.
Wow.
But what happened over the course of July and then into early August was her net favorability moved from negative 23 to negative 8 to negative 2.
Wow.
And, you know, but some of this is because of the incredibly favorable coverage that she's getting from the media. And it's also that she is just becoming the generic Democratic candidate, right? She's becoming, you know, the fill-in-the-blank, the replacement-level Democrat, which Biden was obviously doing much worse than that. But some of this is a little bit, you know, it's a little bit like Notre Dame football starting off 4-0, but the teams they've beaten were Central Michigan, Western Michigan, Little Sisters of Poor, et cetera, right?
Right, right.
The convention is now over, and now comes the really hard part for her, and we're going to see if she actually has a second gear and knows what she's doing, and she didn't really impress anybody, including on the Democratic side in 2019, in 2020, when she ran for president and literally suspended her primary bid before even Iowa had voted in their caucus. So, yes, she does have a little bit of a national lead, but the issue is the Electoral College, right?
Right.
And the Electoral College is still extremely competitive, and there's some signs there that she's doing better than Biden was, but she definitely has not gone away with the game at this point.
Okay, so... yeah, I heard somebody in pollster land say that one of the things that Kamala has to be most concerned about, her race has to be most concerned about, is that despite all of her favorable press, despite the fact that she's moved her unfave ratings, you know, from, you said, I think, a minus, 23 to a minus 2? That's a pretty significant spread. But even still, she is not fully pulled away. Despite having everything, and including fundraising, that it would take, she is not yet pulled away. And that alone should be concerning. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's right. And you look at, so there are seven states that are really going to decide this election. You have the Rust Belt states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and then Pennsylvania. Then you have the four kind of Sun Belt states in Nevada, Arizona, and then the two SEC states as part of that Sun Belt combo in Georgia and North Carolina.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania, which is probably the most important state on the entire Electoral College map, it's very difficult to imagine her winning the presidency if she can't win Pennsylvania. But that's the one state where she's not quite as strong as Biden was. Biden obviously liked to style himself as the third senator from Pennsylvania when he was representing Delaware because of his background in Scranton. And so, and also the fact that, like, look, her policy views are just undeniably to the left of where Biden is. She has unequivocally said that she wants to ban fracking. And that's something that, like, literally she hasn't done an interview yet since becoming the nominee. And so that's going to change as we move forward. And I think as voters get a more close-up glimpse of what a Harris presidency looks like, it's going to make the water choppier for her.
Well, and by the way, you say that, breaking news, as you are talking, CNN is up on the screen saying, breaking news, CNN will hold the first interview with Harris and Waltz. So I'm assuming she can't be interviewed. Yeah, really, CNN. So I'm assuming she can't be interviewed by herself. She has to have Waltz there so that somebody can decode what she says. But yeah, that's that interview's coming up. So you're right. She's about to start finally having to face the fact that she can't hide forever, and we'll see whether she can maintain this. And you mentioned Pennsylvania. I've got a copy of a electoral map with NPR's latest analysis, and they show Pennsylvania as being a toss-up right now.
Yeah, it for sure is. Even with her, you know, with her being on the ticket, that doesn't change that at all. In fact, it probably does make it a little bit more difficult for her to win it than Biden. You know, some states like North Carolina, there's some evidence that North Carolina has become a little bit more competitive with her as the nominee. She appeals maybe a little bit more to young African-American voters than Biden did. But what this is really a testament to is how incredibly weak Biden was as an incumbent nominee.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump was running away with this, and the Democrats knew it, and there was just no way that it was going to even be competitive. Republicans were going to win the Senate. We were going to win the House. Now it's, you know, more competitive, but that's just because that she has solidified the Democratic base, and you had about 10% of Democratic voters who, even for them, Biden was so decrepit and just obviously not up to the job that they weren't sure they could vote for him. Okay, so those Democrats are back in her column. Now we're back to pretty much a dead even game.
So let me ask you, brother, and I didn't plan to ask you this, but it just occurred to me, the RFK effect. So RFK comes out and endorses and swings, you know, his support. There's a lot of talk about that by the time he did that, that those who were going to vote for RFK were more lean Trump than they would have leaned to Harris anyway, because most of the Harris RFK voters had already left. So your thoughts, does this impact things in the swing states?
It does. Now, he's not on the ballot in every single state, and he's certainly not on the ballot in every single battleground state. So, you know, it's not going to matter necessarily where he wasn't on the ballot already. But in states like Nevada and a few other states where he's on the ballot and now he's saying, you know, hey, I am endorsing Trump, I am full-throated endorsement of him, I do think it'll matter because, okay, you know, with RFK in a state like Nevada or some other state, maybe he was just going to get 3 or 4%, but that matters a lot. I mean, these are elections that are fought on a knife's edge in these states, and you know, there's going to be some portion of RFK voters who sit out the election. You know, they were mainly casting a protest vote against the two-party system. You're going to have a few that will go to Kamala, but I think the majority of those are really going to give Trump a serious look. And that could mean the difference in a state like Nevada.
All right. Is there any shift in demographics? We keep hearing that there are more black voters voting Republican this year than before, although they still are overwhelmingly Democrat. Is that still true? And by the way, what is the demographic effect? When you break down the crosstabs of your polling, are you seeing a demographic shift that could make a difference?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I do think that Trump, he had made some inroads over the last couple of years, especially with young black men. And it depended on the state, but, you know, minority men under the age of 50, they were definitely giving Trump a look that maybe they hadn't given a Republican in a long time. But there was not going to be a massive sea change, even with Biden. You know, maybe if Biden had stayed in the race, there would have been some sort of huge sea change. But for the most part, you know, the Democrats are going to get the majority of the African-American vote. Latino vote will be a little bit more competitive. And then where it really kind of comes down to are the white working class voters in a state like Pennsylvania. But, the crucial voting group obviously changes by state. And so when you look at Atlanta, the exurbs of Atlanta are really going to be pretty decisive in determining who wins Georgia.
So mixed bag of polls. I can go to Real Clear Politics. I can do all the things. I can take the aggregate polls. But what are you seeing right now in the both the popular and the electoral vote, who's ahead, generally speaking?
I would say it seems that Harris has a slight lead in the popular vote at this point. Okay. I think that's safe to say. We have not done a poll in the last week or two nationally, so I can't speak to anything in the last 2 weeks from us. But I think that she does have a slight lead in the popular vote. But again, she has to win the popular vote by several points to be able to win the Electoral College. Obviously, Trump won in 2016 without winning the popular vote. George W. Bush won in 2000 without winning the popular vote. And so just the way that the votes are allocated across the cities and rural states, the Electoral College, you know, if you're a Democrat and you want to win the Electoral College, you've got to win by at least 2 or 3 points on the popular vote. So I would say she has the edge in the popular vote, and then I would say it's either dead even or the slightest of edges to Trump in the Electoral College.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, it is way too close, dude. I don't know how you do your job. I'd be sweating bullets every day just trying to do your job.
Well, and people are welcome, who out there are listening, welcome to follow me on X, and then also to follow Signal, CYGNAL, and we post our data pretty frequently, and so that also could be a good resource for people out there.
All right, dude. Hey, listen, by the way, before you go, we got about 30 seconds left. Is there a dark horse moment in the polling? Do you see something that could do a shift, anything that's coming up?
You know, I think the Senate races will be fascinating to watch. And the one Senate race that I would put on people's radar is the Senate race in Montana. John Tester, the Democratic incumbent, he's having a tough time right now. And if that falls, if Republicans are able to win that Senate seat, Republicans should have a clear majority in the U.S. Senate, no matter who wins the presidency and whether Walz or Vance or the vice president. So that is the one. That's the one Senate seat that I'd really pay attention to.
Okay. All right, John Rogers, pollster with Signal Analytics. That was a great breakdown, man. Thank you so much. We'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Phil, great to be with you. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. That was. I mean, listen. I don't want to call myself like a total numbers geek, but that I'm fascinated by the when you break down a poll. There's the top lines and there's the crosstabs. The crosstabs are where you dig deep and you really find out the stuff. And when you can interpret crosstabs like that, it's like going from being somebody who can find the bathroom in a foreign language to having an actual conversation. That's how it's amazing what they can glean. All right, Butters, take me to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. Don't forget, coming up bottom of the hour, Congressman Gary Palmer calling in. That's going to be good. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. A copy of the electoral map. I pulled this one off of NPR. NPR? Phil, did you go to NPR? I did. But I've got a copy of the map right now, and here's how they break it down. This is fresh as of yesterday. They show multiple states as toss-ups. You heard a lot of the same stuff from John Rogers a moment ago. Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin are all considered toss-ups. Right now, in what they call the lean GOP to likely and safe GOP, they reckon that Trump has 219 electoral votes. In the lean dim, likely and safe dim category states, they reckon that Harris has 226 electoral votes. It takes 270 to win. Right now, the battleground states account for 93 electoral votes. So whoever can scarf up, let's see, Trump would need, he needs 50 plus. He needs 51 right now. Harris just needs a little less than that. So she needs 46, I think is my math right, or 45. All that to say, whew, if they start splitting those electoral, those battlegrounds, it could make for a long night. And, of course, we're going to find out that Pennsylvania can't count their votes, you know, until like a week later. Arizona is going to get around to it when they get around to it. But we got Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Just saying. Man. And then in a minute we're going to have Congressman Gary Palmer is going to be on the line with us. And I'm looking forward to hearing his breakdown of some things he sent me. There was a recent poll that was done by the McLaughlin Group, another polling organization. They actually did some of the polling for my my race, and they're really well respected. They tend to poll for Republican races, and they've got some great interesting things here about how Kamala Harris comes out in terms of how people feel about her previous positions. That's going to be interesting. TheGuardian.com says that with regards to Trump and Harris, that Georgia is ours to lose. What that's basically saying is they know they're a critical battleground state. We should be seeing it leaning more towards Trump. But the reality is Trump is barely like 0.6 ahead in most polling when you do the aggregate. 0.6, less than 1%. It still means, though, that right now Georgia is technically ours to lose. But then when you get into issues-based polling, and this is interesting, issues-based polling means how do people feel about what she has done? There are some things in which Donald Trump has an issue-based poll 22 points ahead of Kamala Harris. What? Yes. On securing the border, rightfully so, Trump comes out 22 points ahead of Kamala just in the issues-based polling. All right, listen, we're going to a break momentarily, but let me just tell you guys before we go. So Inspire Advisors is one of our newest advertisers, and I told you about them multiple times on the show. I got to remind you guys, though, Inspire Advisors has got another free thing coming up you might want to know about. So you hear about their biblically responsible investing. You hear about them helping your bottom line, investing well while also believing in the companies you're investing in so you're not compromising your values. Well, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they're starting a fall educational series this summer. You can sign up to be a part of a class that teaches you how to take a close look at your portfolios, how to align it with your biblical values, how to also, oh, by the way, select the right assets and the risk-reward to meet your own goals. I mean, it's very cool. Coming up in October and November, they'll take you into a deep dive on your retirement planning and, oh, by the way, make you feel good about what you're investing in. So you ought to check it out. Their website, you can look for the information on their website, which is www.moneypatternwealth.com, or you can go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, click on the sponsors tab for Right Side Radio. Their logo takes you right to their website. Listen, sign up, find out more, class curriculum, course calendar, got all the sign-up sheets on the September class coming up. Get smart with your finances, y'all. This is how you find financial freedom here, and attendance is limited. So don't miss your chance. Inspire Advisors. Check them out. All right, we're coming up with Congressman Gary Palmer talking about the rundown on issues and policy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one I'm talking about. This one, I mean this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in. Just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, I am pleased to go to the phones right now and bring on someone who's been a friend of the show, been on multiple times. Congressman Gary Palmer has a long history of being a conservative policy warrior. He's the one who founded the Alabama Policy Institute that you hear about so often on this show. I spent time on staff there myself. Congressman Gary Palmer has also made a name for himself as becoming part of the leadership for the House Republicans and is fighting the good fight for conservative policy in D.C., He's on the line right now. Congressman Gary Palmer, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for making time. In fact, I really appreciate this morning you texted me some numbers that I hadn't seen before, and it was like a perfect fit for a segment that I'm in the middle of. So I thought, well, dang, if you got time, call on in. So here you are.
Well, it's really funny, the timing of everything, because I gave a speech yesterday morning, and it was really well received, and this young, I'd say early 40s, suburban mom followed me out in the hall after I finished it and told me she appreciated what I said, but none of her friends were voting for Trump. And I'm thinking, after what I just told you about the future of the country, and I think she wasn't saying she wasn't going to, but her friends weren't going to. And then I get this message from Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, this morning about the poll information that I sent you.
Yeah.
And I thought, obviously, these people who say they can't support Trump have no idea how radical Kamala Harris is. And well, the poll just verifies it.
Well, you know, she's just agreed to do her very first interview since being named as the candidate and the nominee. And I look at it and think, well, maybe they'll start to figure it out when she begins to actually open her mouth in front of the press. What do you think?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they're not going to ask her about her support of defunding the police or why she thinks that it shouldn't be a crime to cross our border illegally, why she thinks that we should consider allowing people on death row to vote. I mean, I could go on down that list that you've got there. She wants to do away with private health insurance.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many young moms who, you know, depend on their health insurance for their kids' health care, for their health care, for their mom and dad's health care, have given any thought to what it would mean in a government-run health care system. I mean, all you got to do is look at Canada and the UK and places like that. But basically, as you get older, they don't take care of you. They just give you palliative care, keep you comfortable until you die. And people may think that that's, I'm being extreme on that, but look it up.
Well, it's true. And some of these numbers you sent me, and this is, by the way, this is an MRC McLaughlin poll. McLaughlin is good. I mean, that's one of the more respected polling groups in the nation. And McLaughlin's poll shows that, like you mentioned several, but one of them, like 72% of those polled were unaware that she was named the border czar. And that she's never gone down to one of the difficult zones on the border. I mean, how are they? This is what Rush Limbaugh used to call the low information voter, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's what worries me about things is that I said all along, if this is about personalities, Trump loses. I mean, because she's a younger, more hip version of Hillary in pantsuits. That if it's about policy, we ought to win every time. And the mainstream left-wing media, they're really propagandists, they're not media, are keeping this information from the public. They're not, you can tell where they are by what they ask.
Yeah.
And if they don't ask about some of these extreme positions, and then you look at what our campaign's doing, they're putting out misinformation saying that, you know, these showing more moderate positions, but she hasn't said that. You haven't heard that out of her mouth. She was, here's the other thing, most people have no idea that she was helping provide funding for a fund to bail people out of jail during the 2020 riots.
Yeah.
Who had committed, you know, violent attacks and had burglarized businesses. Yeah, she was trying to bail them out.
Yeah, the poll you sent me said 78% of those polled did not even know that it occurred. Like they had no clue. And I think, where are these people? I mean, what rock are they sleeping under? But you've got on here, too, that it says, where'd it go? 75% of them were unaware that Harris had been named as the most liberal U.S. senator in 2019. And by the way, that's right before she left the Senate to go take the vice presidency. So,
yeah,
good Lord.
And remember who's sitting by her in the Senate. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer, and she was more liberal than any of them. But I'm really concerned about it, Phil. I think maybe you need to go national with your radio program and hopefully reach some of these low information voters. But that's what I'm trying to figure out. How are we going to do this? That's the main reason I sent it to you, because I know a lot of people listen to you.
Well, I appreciate that. And first of all, going national, we'll talk. There's future plans. But but in the meantime, I'm talking to the regional that I've got. And I think there's a bunch of folks out there that care, But I think there's a bunch of folks out there that just haven't even had the opportunity to check the numbers and don't know where to search, which boggles my mind. But let me ask you this. She's got the debate coming up. Trump just announced today in a pretty scathing statement that they had finally gotten confirmation that she will, in fact, do a no notes, no cheat sheet, no answers, no questions in advance stand-up debate on September 10th. What do you think? How's that going to go?
Well, I think they better check to see if she's got notes on the palm of her hand or up her wrist or something, pull the sleeves up. Because if this is no notes, no teleprompter, nobody flashing cards out in the audience, it should be pretty interesting. My big concern is Trump's discipline. And
yeah.
Because they're going to do everything they can to trigger him. And it won't just be her. It'll be the ABC people who are asking the questions. They're going to try to trigger him. And I think his debate with Joe Biden, he was very disciplined.
Yep.
And I think even at times somewhat compassionate towards Biden, because it was so apparent that the man was mentally challenged and struggling. He's got to have that same demeanor. But one of the other things that I think we can do is, and I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job, but like I say, there are a lot of people listen to you. If you post that poll on your website and people can pull that down, print it out, and share it with some of these people who don't know this about her.
Yeah.
Show it to them in writing. Maybe that'll sway some people.
No, because I agree.
The policies that she supports will be enormously damaging for decades. And our kids are going to pay. A lot of people's got kids in grammar school, right, in elementary school, that their future is going to be tremendously damaged.
Well, I completely agree. And I look at it. And yes, by the way, thank you very much. But the data you sent me is going to be up on my social media and on Right Side's company social media probably this evening. And we'll keep pushing it out. In the meantime, let me ask you this. We've got about 3 or 4 more minutes to go. There was a breaking story, and this is a little bit off topic, but I think it's a clear indication of the kind of things that we are constantly up against. But Special Counsel Jack Smith, who had his case against Trump dismissed on all of the, you know, claims of January 6th, you know, subversion and insurrection and all that, incitement of riots. Special Counsel Jack Smith, it was just announced, just indicted Trump for a second time today. Basically, he lost, his case got thrown out, so he decided to come back and to start from scratch. Your thoughts on it?
Well, it doesn't change the fact that he was illegally made special counsel.
Yep.
He was not confirmed by the Senate. So I mean, that was the main thing that got his case thrown out in Florida. He does not have the authority to act as special counsel. So he can file whatever he wants to. But I tell you what people need to take from this. They are so afraid that Trump could get reelected that they're conducting themselves the way people would do in banana republics.
Yeah.
You look at what happened in Venezuela and some of these other places, and candidates were removed from the ballot. Candidates were put in jail. This is how a socialist Marxist regime operates. If they cannot beat you fair and square, they will throw your butt in jail. And that's what they're trying to do with Trump.
That's exactly what they're trying to do with Trump. Well, listen, I think we got to run like scalded dogs for what? The next, was it 69 days? Is that what we got? I just had John Rogers from Signal, the polling and analytics group, on a moment ago, and we went through the battleground states. And right now, there are multiple toss-up states that the entire vote is coming, the entire race is coming down to those, I think it was, what, 10 or 11 swing states. We're almost at a dead heat right now on the electoral count in terms of what they think it's going to be, but there's 93 that are toss-ups, and everything rides on that right now. So,
in the House races, there's 22 toss-up seats, 11 Republican, 11 Democrat.
Oh wow! So, wow. Well, and one of those is right here in Alabama. I'm assuming that the new congressional district 2
is rated a lean Democrat.
Is it really? Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes. By the way, I just got a I got a text a moment ago from someone who is tight with one of your peers, Congressman Adderholt, who said that he had heard that right now there is a sense that they will take 8 to 10 new seats in the House, and that's what you're saying right there, right?
Well, that's what I'm working on. I have a program where I get funds directly to these candidates that have a chance to be the Democrat.
Yeah.
And I think if we have a really good night, we could pick up 8 to 10. A good night would be 6. A good night would be 3 or 4 added to our majority, but a really great night would be 8 to 10.
Well, let's get her done. I mean, I listen, because we can get Trump in office, but if we don't have the House and the Senate, we're still struggling to get the agenda passed. So we got so much to do self-correcting on once we take it all back. But let's just get through this next 2 months and see if we can, like, reclaim our country. Well, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, if we get the House, if we don't get the House and Trump wins, they'll impeach him immediately. It'll be Jack Smith all over again. What they did all over again the first time. But we got to get the House, we're going to get the Senate, get Trump in office, and we got a chance to get our country back on the right track. And maybe, like Reagan said, we can have morning in America again.
What a great phrase. And I've said several times, it took a Carter to bring us a Reagan, and I'm hoping it takes a Biden to bring us back to a Trump. And so, well, Congressman, thank you for your time and good information. I'll get it up on social media, but let's just keep running like scalded dogs, like I said.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Take care now. That was Congressman Gary Palmer, who serves from the Birmingham region of our great state. And listen, we have a pretty solid delegation, and I appreciate the fact that Gary Palmer has gone from doing conservative policy at the state level to now taking that to D.C. In the meantime, we will take a break. We'll come right back, clean up a few text messages, and take us all the way to go home. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.